addition to the original 800. The same trend is happening on the internet. The 1-800 number is the 1-800 number and the .com top-level domain are all but worn out from a registration point of view. Now, industry analysts have predicted that .com will prevail as the leading internet suffix, just as 1-800 prevails at the toll-free telecom industry for at least the next 10 years. But a new top-level domain is making waves in the domain registration industry. Its name is .ws. .ws has affectionately been labeled website or world site, and branding of the .ws domain as website makes it easy for people to remember. The actual top-level domain, however, belongs to a small island in the South Central Pacific Ocean, about 1,600 miles northeast of New Zealand, called Samoa. And Samoa has a population of approximately 200,000 people, and their main exports include coconut cream, beer, automotive wiring harnesses, and cigarettes. And their new claim to fame is .ws. Now, Samoa isn't unique in having their own domain suffix. Every country has one. Canada has .ca, the U.S. has .us, Norway has .no, and so on. What makes Samoa's .ws unique is the way that they branded it. Now, .ws naturally leads itself to website or world site, and this unique branding ability has attracted massive attention, and industry analysts are predicting the .ws domain suffix is likely to be the equivalent of the toll-free telecom industry's runner-up 888. Entrepreneurs who grasp the .ws revolution now, before it becomes the next .com, will position themselves in front of Phase 2 of the Internet Gold Rush. Phase 2 has begun, and it promises to take the Internet to the next level of communication. For more information on the .ws revolution and how to find out how you can position yourself to cash in on Phase 2 of the Next Generation Internet, register and watch my 7-minute multimedia presentation. Register now to secure your front row seat. And then you go to, there's going to be on the website, there's going to be a sign-up form on articles and solo ads. Then it'll go to a website called Phase 2, which is www.phase2, is phasetwo.ws. And then on the bottom of the website, of course, you know, we value your privacy, etc. So you can see where I really pile on the information, where I've gone out and done quite a lot of research to discover, you know, how many .com domains are registered, how many are being registered every day, you know, how it applies to the telecom, the toll-free number, what it, you know, kind of compare it to something that somebody would be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, I try to make the article information-packed. So you can come out of the article, even if you have no interest in becoming involved in registering or promoting the .com or the .ws domain names, you still come out with information that, hey, you know, now you're talking to a friend and you can say, hey, you know, I know what the next, you know, the next revolution on the Internet is, and show them how it works with, you know, compared to 1-800 numbers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a great example.
That's the kind of thing that I try to do with all the messages is even if the person isn't interested in the product, at least they get some information that they can use or at least that they find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the kind of, I guess, my little formula, you could say, for writing a message is give them as much information as possible. You know, for especially for articles, take some time to write them. I'm not a big proponent of people who, you know, sit down and write articles in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, unless there's such an incredible wealth of information that they can do that. But, I mean, for me, I've got the seed of the information, but I need to back it up with a lot of research. So, you know, it could take me a week or 2 weeks to write an article.
Mm.
But, I mean, ultimately, the goal is to give my subscribers, my prospects and customers, you know, the best information that I can give them.
Mm-hmm. Great. moving along here, getting into kind of an unrelated area, how do you use tracking, given that, you know, when you send out a promotion, you're not necessarily, you know, I guess if your list is at all diverse, you're not necessarily going for the most sales because, you know, like we mentioned before, it's you want to get the right products in the right hands, more so than making the maximum number of sales, because those people that you don't sell this time, you know, you may have something better for them next time, and overall it works out in your favor. So have you found tracking to be of limited use there, or do you do anything special, you know, to recognize that kind of situation?
You caught me on another one of my weaknesses.
Yeah.
I don't actually track very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
I should, because you know, as someone who, and I have to admit, I run a very unscientific business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very emotionally driven person, and I try to really give people as much as I can from me. And I guess the downside or the part of the business that I should really develop is becoming more kind of scientific about my way of doing things, because I really don't, other than the example that I gave you there about the opt-in leads, the co-op registration
mm-hmm.
opt-in leads, I track those very diligently, because I was doing a test on them. I wanted to see if it actually, does it make sense to spend $400 on these leads, or does it not make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole test. So I found out, yes, it actually does, because over time you can convert them into sales by building the relationship with them. But it's a time-related factor. But that's really the only, I would say probably one of the only times that I've really ever used tracking.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm one of these people that's comfortable. You know, if the sales are coming in, then that's good. If suddenly everything stops, then I've got to go and find out what happened and what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and most likely it's a technical error, something happened, the autoresponder's not working or something like that. But I think from my perspective, and there's a lot of people disagree with it, but I mean, as long as you're giving your best to the people that are on your lists and trying to serve them as well as you possibly can, I mean, that's really all you can do. Of course, if you're a more structured person, then you know, I think it's a great idea to track absolutely everything, and you can pull up statistics and find out exactly where everything is sitting, what's making you the most sales. You can adjust your autoresponders and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, probably you know, if I was to look for another partner in the business, I would probably look for someone who's very logistically competent.
Yeah.
And build up the tracking side. But for me personally, I haven't really gone into tracking and such very much at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the nice things about if you think of it this way, you know, when you're going for relationships, tracking kind of becomes kind of does take a back seat, because they're difficult to track, you know, and you kind of have to focus on the relationship, not on the tracking, not on the numbers,
yeah.
Because the numbers could mislead you. And maybe that's one of the reasons that some marketers operate the way they do, you know, is they're just looking at the numbers.
Yeah. For me, I think building relationships with people is almost like it's very much a part of branding, and it's a very abstract concept, where you actually, you know, to say how many sales are you making because of the relationships you've built, or how many sales are you making because of your branding, it's very difficult to relate back and forth. But if
yep.
I didn't have the relationships with my customers, then I wouldn't be making the repeat sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really where, you know, if I wanted to get a little bit more statistical, I think that's where you'd somehow be able to measure how well the relationship relates to sales.
That's a good point.
Your repeat business.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just happy, you know, I can go into my PayPal account and into my 2checkout.com account and say, okay, there's what I'm, you know, there's the money that's coming in, you know, in the next couple of weeks, and doing it that way, and just keep. For me, I think the more important thing for me is just to do things that I love, and things that make me happy, and building relationships with people and giving them, you know, the information that I have, you know, and getting the feedback, you know, because it's one of those things, everybody does, you know, what thinks about, you know, what's in it for me. You know, I'm not a totally selfless person that I just want to give and give and give. The reason I give is because I love the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I love when people say, you know, I just read that article. It hit me exactly. You know, we're on the same wavelength, and you know, I used what you said, and look, here's what happened. And I think that's worth more to me than a sale.
Yeah.
In some respects. I mean, of course, you have to, you know, you got to put food on the table, but at the same time, you know, when somebody can come back and give you an example of using the information that you've given them and showing you how it worked for them, I mean, that's just, it's very much a feeling of satisfaction and kind of the, that's what I wanted, you know, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
I agree. That's kind of a validation thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, kind of in the opposite direction, you know, I mean, you are a marketer, and, you know, marketing, obviously it's not completely, you know, you're creating a picture, you know, when you market, and, you know, you're showing what you want to be seen. Have you, you know, can you think of anything in general that you found is a bad idea, even though you want to be upfront with your subscribers? Is there anything you've found is a bad idea to let them in on?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you get into, for me, a lot of the articles and the information messages and stuff that I'll send out really has a very personal flavor to it. I try to bring myself into it as much as possible. And I remember one article in particular that I wrote because it kind of struck me as really funny. I was sitting in the bathtub one night, and this drip of water, it was cold water dripping out of the tap, and it was just a small drip. It would be, you know, maybe one drip every 2 or 3 seconds. And my toe was sitting right exactly under the drip, and it was cold. And I'm sitting in a hot bath, and this drip is cold, dripping on my toe. And I thought, you know, what a pain in the butt. So I moved my foot, but I didn't move it far enough. So now I've got this drip dripping on the side of my foot. So I move it back the other way, and then it's dripping on another part. I thought, this is just crazy. And then it just occurred to me, you know, this is moving around like this back and forth out of the drip really is how a lot of people run their business. And I can't even remember how I tied it in, but I just did. And, you know, it tied in really neat. And at that time, I was actually, I had a weekly e-zine that I was publishing. And I did the article based on this drip that was dripping on my toe. And the whole first part of it explained, you know, I'm sitting in a hot bath, you know, the drip is dripping on my toe. And, you know, I was probably 3/4 of the article, way down the article, before I actually related to how it, what I was talking about, how did it relate to marketing and business at all?
Yeah.
And I got, that's probably the biggest response that I got from anything that I've written. And I got so many people, you know, come back, and that they were, it was, you could almost tell in their, the way that they've written their email that it actually made them laugh, you know, and I think it was people sitting at their computer actually laughing when they're reading it. And that's the kind of response that I absolutely love. But I think, to take it, I mean, and that's working the personal side into it. I mean, you know, if you could go step over the line, I mean, if you started giving out details like your sex life and that kind of thing, I mean, there are certain things you don't tell your subscribers, you know, that kind of thing. But other than that, I mean, I can't say that I haven't really hidden anything or found anything that I won't tell my subscribers. I mean, you know, a business and marketing level, and I try to keep it on a business level, even if I can get my personal side into it and tell a story. And that's another thing with you know, anything that you're writing, the messages and whatnot. If you can tell a story, people love stories. And, you know, the drip on my toe was a story, and I think that's really why people loved it, and or at least liked it anyway. And you know, kind of bring that aspect into it, so you bring your personal side in, but, you know, not getting too personal with, you know, very intimate details of your life. But other than that, you know, even if I come up with something and I find, good Lord, that, you know, that was a really bad way to market, I wouldn't do that again. You know, I would come out and tell people about it. Like, that was really kind of the gist of my experiment with the the co-op registration leads, because I was coming out regardless what happened. I was going to come out. The whole point of it was to come out and tell people what had happened.
Right.
I mean, if I suddenly got, you know, one of my websites shut down because of spam complaints, then that's what was going in. That's what was going in the article. That, you know, and so it was really an experiment to find out what works and what doesn't work. And even if I find something that doesn't work, then I come out and tell people about it. So,
right.
I can't say that there's really anything that I would say no, I'm not going to tell people about.
Yeah, that's so important to let people know both sides of the story. I mean, you know, in marketing, I think people get carried away with you know, with everything is so rosy, you know, and the other stuff just doesn't get talked about, and it really gives people the wrong idea of reality, really. And I think it's misleading, because it's kind of like, well, I did this and this was great, and it doesn't help people with what works, what doesn't work, what to watch out for. And when you get into the reality of it, when these people you know, when they start trying to do things themselves, you know, they find that the reality is a lot tougher, and they wish that somebody had let them in on this stuff.
Oh, exactly. I think one of the perfect examples now, I mean, internet marketing, you know, is really a saturated area of business. I mean, if I wasn't a marketer myself, I wouldn't be in it. You know, the reason I'm in internet marketing is that's my background. That's what I can talk about.
Right.
I'd much prefer to know how to raise a cat, you know, because, you know, that market is so unsaturated, and you know, it's a niche market that, as a marketer, I could go into and market cat products.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I'd have to like cats to go ahead and do that. But I think, a lot of it comes back to the fact that, you know, people just, they're not sharing the real world aspect. And now, within the internet marketing arena, when it's so crowded online, the real big thing is to start doing offline marketing now,
mm-hmm.
and offering, you know, your online products offline. So, I mean, and it's stuff that I do as well. I mean, I, you know, the interviews, I offer on a physical, a tangible CD that you're going to get in the post. But I've read now, you know, a lot of these guys, they're pushing the offline side. Yeah, you know, you got to get offline and push your products offline because the response is so much better.
Yeah.
The problem is the response is really good if you have a good sales letter. It doesn't work any. It's almost like a reverse aspect of when people come online and they try to do business differently online than offline. Now the reverse is happening. People are online doing business, and now they're trying to take that offline, and,
mm-hmm.
and now they're pumping it up like it's, you know, offline is some extraordinary way to make money, where it's actually the opposite. It's easier to make money online because there's a whole lot less expenses.
Yeah,
but
less risk.
They're coming out now with, you know, the response rates that they're getting to their offline promotions are so much better than on their online promotions,
mm-hmm.
which is quite possible. But they, to be able to accomplish that, they have to have a spectacular sales letter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're quoting things like, you know, they have a 2 or 3% response online, and they get offline and they're getting like 5 to 10%, and I would expect they're probably getting 5 to 10% marketing to a list who already knows them online.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you went out cold and you rent a list from a list broker and you do a direct mail campaign, getting a half to 1% response offline is considered comfortable. That's a good response. If you can get between 0.5% and 1% response, that's a good response. You'd be happy with that. But, I mean, even if you're just doing postcards, you spend, you know, $2,000-$3,000 in a heartbeat sending out
mm-hmm.
postcards, and that's one expensive way to test and see if it's going to work.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, I can send out online postcards. I mean, I could send out 100,000 online postcards, and you know, it costs peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the same type of thing where, you know, it's back to the fact where you really have to find out what's the story behind the percentages. Yeah, you can get a 10% response, but are these people that have known you for like 2 or 3 years online, and now you're sending them offline messages, which, you know, whenever they get the message and they say, oh, Lawrence Baker, son of a gun, I know him online. it's almost that, I mean, it's again, it's back to building relationships.
Yeah.
When somebody gets something offline now, if I get a letter from you now,
yeah.
I would even if it was a postcard or direct mail piece, I'm probably 99% more likely to open it because I recognize you online.
Yeah.
And I think, whoa, you know, I've never, ever yet received anything from somebody online, offline. So I've never received a piece of postal snail mail from
mm-hmm.
anybody that I have contact with online.
Oh, really?
So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the type of thing where there's a huge, of course, if you send me an offer and you say, look, Terry, you know, I want to thank you again for purchasing this book or reading this book or whatever. I've also developed a course, and the course you can find at www.lawrencebaker.com. I'd really appreciate you taking a look, that kind of thing. Well, you're going to have a huge response because now I know you. I've got a piece of mail that I think, hey, I've got to go in and check this out, and more likely than not, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
So, I think you probably can achieve a 10% response rate, but
mm-hmm.
it's a 10% response rate to a very warm market, and in a lot of cases, probably a very hot market.
Yep. That is a powerful combination, but yeah, you eliminate that the online element, and it's dead. Have you found customer service to get to the point where, you know, you're having a hard time, you know, keeping up with it and still doing things that bring in revenue?
Knock on wood, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
So far, my customer service side of things, I haven't had a whole lot of customer service issues to deal with. I think probably, I guess the most difficult thing for me is trying to balance my personal life with my business life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm by nature I'm a workaholic, and I think it's probably because I absolutely love what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't think of anything better than you know, sitting in front of my computer and writing articles. You know, talking to people. You know, I find building relationships is probably one of the most exciting things that you can do.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, regardless who they are, they have something about them that's interesting,
mm-hmm.
and something you can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, so for me, as far as the customer service, it hasn't got out of hand yet.
Yeah.
But even dealing with customer service issues, I mean, it's still again, you know, working on the relationship. And building the relationship, even if somebody, you know, wants to return a product,
mm-hmm.
you know, then find out as much about it as possible. You know, I'm really sorry to hear they want to return the product, but you know, could you explain what it is that didn't work for you? And more likely than not, you're going to find out that they actually they're trying to use the product in the wrong way, or it was something like you said, maybe I've written a letter that a sales letter that I felt was directing people in the right direction, but maybe the person that read the sales letter read it from a completely different angle and bought it for a reason that I never even thought of, and then found
mm-hmm.
out, that wasn't actually for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you can go along and build the relationship with that person and find out, well, what is it that you're interested in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the marketing side of thing isn't interesting, but maybe, you know, the person is interested in, God only knows who, maybe, you know, cats. And, you know, suddenly I have a contact that I know that is like a professional cat breeder that breeds Persian cats, and this person's interested in Persian cats, and I can connect them.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I haven't, so far, I haven't had too many, really issues of time-wise.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky. I mean, I spend a lot of time in the office, and I've dedicated times for my family time, so I'm in the office when I'm not with my family, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Saturday, Sunday's kind of up until about 7, 8 o'clock at night is kind of sacred family time, and then after that I'm free to come back to the office.
Uh-huh.
So it's really, I had a very interesting experience, actually, that showed me where my weaknesses are in my life, and it was a gentleman named Joe Rubino who did a personal reinvention, and he's a life coach, and he did a personal reinvention on me, which is basically he asked me a bunch of questions and finds out where am I at in my life now, where do I want to be, and it's one of those things that totally opens up your eyes because you find out stuff that you didn't know you didn't know. And one of the things that I found out is I'm not having fun in my life from a family aspect. You know, we're not going out and doing enough stuff and that kind of thing. Because, I mean, I was working all the time. I was in the office all the time. And it was the type of thing where I absolutely loved doing stuff on the, you know, online and working on my computer. But I had neglected my family and I didn't even know it. And Joe said, well, you know, what about this and what about that? And, it kind of it's like slapping you in the face. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, geez, you know, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where I developed, you know, here's the sacred family time. And you know, really work on the other aspect of my life as well.
Yeah.
So I totally got right off track on you there. Sorry about that, Lawrence. But that's,
that's okay. I mean, it's definitely there. Two are related. I think there are a lot of one man operations out there, marketers, and they want to keep it that way. But you know, it gets to the point where they can't handle the customer service. So you know, either their life suffers or their customers suffer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I've done on the customer service side is I don't actually get too much personal email. I tried to cut down on my spam because I had another business that I was running when I had an easing before, and I just got overwhelmed with the spam that I was getting because I had on my website I'd publicized my email address. So I mean, it was on my website everywhere. And so of course, you know, spiders can come on and just grab the email address really easily. So now what I've done is if people want to contact me, I have a contact form on my website, and that's cut my spam down by about 90%. So when I go into my email box now, it comes up with a special subject line that's come from that form, so I can actually go in and respond to customer service requests a lot faster because I can see that they're actually coming in from that form.
Yeah.
And even at that, I mean, on the form it says, you know, I'll get back to you within 24 to 48 hours, which, you know, for some businesses is quite slow. I mean, some people, I think, just sit on their email and just wait for messages to come in because, you know, there's some people that are absolutely spectacular customer service.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll email them now and, you know, I have an answer in an hour.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say to anybody that's a customer, I'll be back within 24 to 48 hours. It's not going to be, you know, a one-hour type thing. So, I mean, there are, I suppose if you consider that a, you know, too long a time to wait, then, yeah, the customer service does suffer a little bit, I suppose. But at the same time, I mean, I've got so many projects on the go. Right off the top of my head, I'm working on three books with three different authors right now. These are books that will be e-books, but we're also doing a print and CD version of the book. And I've got an online course that I'm working on, and I've got probably about seven different products that I promised people I'm going to review. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on kind of behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have time to actually just sit there and wait for customer service requests.
Well, yeah, it's not a good idea. It breaks up your day too much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's really slow. There are bigger companies with customer service staffs, and you know, you can wait 2-3 days sometimes to get a response.
Yeah, that's true. I think, you know, if you have to wait an extended period of time, I mean, I think 48 hours is the outside, kind of the outside border. That's kind of the limit.
Yeah, right.
To get back to people.
Yeah, I agree. There are a lot that commit to it but don't come through.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
Well, that's the problem, too. I mean, you don't want to overpromise and underdeliver.
Yeah.
You got to do it the other way around. You know, if I say I get back to you within 24 to 48 hours, sometimes I might get back to you, depending on when you write a message. I mean, I might be checking my mail at that time, and you could write a message, and I get back to you within 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next message, it might be, you know, maybe it's going to be 24 hours before I'm back to you.
Yeah.
So it really depends. I mean, I check my mail. In order to keep everything running kind of on a somewhat of a schedule, I check my mail in the morning. I check all my mail accounts in the morning.
Yeah,
and that's it. Then, I mean, so I'm checking my mail every 24 hours.
Yeah, I think the 48 is necessary, you know, so that you don't overpromise because, you know, in that period that you set aside to deal with your email, maybe you have a couple big issues that you just can't get resolved that day.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 How much affiliate marketing do you do? I mean, do you make a lot of recommendations for products outside your own
I would say I have a handful. I'm probably up around about 15 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm doing, instead of, I do a lot of affiliate products and stuff because it's a lot easier for me to actually hook up with somebody who's got a product as opposed to developing the whole thing on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll find related products,
yeah.
that kind of will relate to specific areas. So when I sign up to an affiliate program, and again, I can use this .ws domain registration. That's an affiliate program that I'm involved with. It's with a company called Global Domain International, or GDI. And it's one of those things that a couple of weeks ago, I've seen this thing before. I saw it last year and you know, watched a little video and stuff, and I thought, well, what the heck is a .ws? I mean, who's ever going to use .ws? .com is the way to go. And, you know, so then I'd seen that, and then I got an email from a colleague of mine. And I said, here, go and check this out. And I said, I've already checked it out. I'm not really interested. He said, yeah, but you got to take a look at it. I'm doing it. And it made me, you know, so much money in the first couple of months that I was doing it. And I thought, whoa. And I can tell you, I'll give you the exact amount. He said, it's making me $600. It's made me $600 in 2 months. And I thought, okay, well, you know, it's worth to taking a look at.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I went back in and I took a look at the video, and it's a network marketing business model.
Mm-hmm.
And I find, kind of just on a side note, you'll find there's two kinds of people. There's people who absolutely hate network marketing and they wouldn't look at it, you know, and touch it with a 10-foot pole and that kind of thing. And you know, there's people like myself who I'm very pro network marketing,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's done on a professional basis. I'm not the kind of person who's, I don't walk up and down the street looking for people to talk to. And
mm-hmm.
trying to prospect them. I find the internet is an absolutely fantastic way to develop a business and the network side of the network marketing side of business.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of the people who are affiliates, they just sign up and recruit people and you know, again, this back to, you know, how many people can I recruit and make lots of money on a residual basis, which is great, except you'll find there's a lot of people drop out. So where I do the value-added side of things is I'll join a company as an affiliate and and market it and build the business. But when I've got a downline or a team that's working with me, then I coach the team very personally. I mm-hmm. do my own e-zine, for specifically for that that business. I go into the website like this one now. It's taken me. I signed up with this one 2 weeks ago, and it's taken me 2 weeks to go through the website, and I read every single page on the website, so I have a complete understanding of the business. The person that introduced me to it, he said, go in and look, here's the money that I'm making. And as soon as I go out back and ask him questions, he has no idea. So
mm-hmm.
he's never gone in and looked at the site, because what I did is I asked him questions of the really simple stuff, because I wanted to see how, I was kind of testing him, I wanted to see how well he knew the site. And I mean, I just went in and asked really simple questions, and he didn't know anything about it. And I thought, okay, well, obviously, it's not somebody I'm going to get information from, but okay, that's cool. But that's not the kind of person that I want to be. I want to add the value of supporting my team, showing them what I'm doing. Here I just bought this bunch of leads. The site actually has a lead generation area. I bought these leads. Now I'm just waiting to see what happens. Then I can go back to the team and say, look, it's worth buying these leads because here's what happened to me. And so I can go out with an e-zine every week to my team. I can do conference calls with them and really help them develop the business.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the kind of the way that I work an affiliate program. And, mm-hmm. and on the other side, I mean, if it's not a network marketing program, which very few affiliate programs now are not, people that hate multi-level marketing programs or network marketing programs have no problem, coming into an affiliate program that's a two-tier affiliate program, which is network marketing, but
mm-hmm.
they don't relate it to that because it only pays them on two tiers. I mean, you don't go down five levels or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
but it's still, that's the very basics of network marketing. But regardless, aside from all that, the way that I do my affiliate marketing is really to join a program or if it's a product that I want to represent, then what I'll do is I'll either set up a specific page on my website that describes the product, tells you exactly what I've done with it, how it works for me, you know, really kind of a recommendation of the product. But as well, I mean, there's some really great products out there that also have, you know, the faults to them. You know, this is a fantastic product, and, you know, I highly recommend. I can give you an example, Sonic Memo. I use Sonic Memo to put the streaming audio onto my website.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolutely fantastic, fantastic program. The software is amazing, simple to use. You get it on your website, it works, it generally works very, very simply, but for some reason, sometimes it doesn't work. And So I've been through it, and now I figured out, okay, here's some of the problems with it, and then I include that as well. So, I mean, that's, you know, a simple way, and you can use the same format in articles and whatnot to promote the affiliate programs, where, you know, you come out and tell exactly what you've done for it, and you really pre-sell the product from an objective standpoint. You know, it's not all roses. Like you said, you know, it's not all roses.
Yeah.
Nothing's all roses. There's faults with everything. So go out and find out what the faults are. Promote the positive side of it, of course, but don't ignore the faults. You know, blatantly put them right out there. You know, hey, this is a great product, but there's also this kind of thing you have to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And people respect you and trust you more and are more likely to buy the product, even, you know, when it, by you telling them exactly how you found it and including the faults,
than
if you just make this big, rosy, fluffy story about how wonderful, fantastic it is and there's no faults.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one side of it. The other thing I do is if it's a product like this domain registration, now I've actually gone out and registered a specific website for it that I'll be using just for publicizing that affiliate program. So it's one of the types of things, when you become an affiliate, I think the first thing you need to do is look at it personally and look at being an affiliate from the standpoint of you are the CEO and the president and chairman and whatever of your own marketing company.
Mm-hmm.
So you own a marketing company. You decide to become an affiliate of another company, which means you're going to do the promotion for that company, but you're not specifically tied to that company as, you know, well, now I'm an affiliate, you know, the company owes me money and, you know, they've got to teach me everything, you know, that kind of thing. You have to take responsibility for your own company. So your company is, you know, Terry Telford Marketing, for example. So now I'll go out and find an affiliate program. Now, it's my responsibility, if I'm going to make any money from that, to professionally market that. So I'm going to go out and develop a website specifically for that product, go through the steps that we just talked about, and, you know, really, I mean, I might go to the, if it's a really good product and I really like it, I'll write an ebook about the industry, you know, and promote that product as well as you know, kind of other complementary products within the ebook, and do it that way. So you can really, you know, it's one of those things, you got to take it as the affiliate program. Don't just go out and sign up for 101 affiliate programs. Find an affiliate program that you're really interested in. You can actually do something with it. You know, write an ebook. You can set up your own website. You can actually take the bull by the horns and get out there and do it like it's your own product. But doing it from the perspective of you own your own marketing company and you are offering the services to this other company that you're going to do the marketing for, and really set your mindset. I don't know how to describe it. Just kind of set your mindset so it's your business. You're taking ownership for it, and whatever happens, you know, if you can make an income from it, that's your responsibility. If you fail, that's also your responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I a lot of people, and myself included, early on, they'll sign up for a lot of affiliate programs. I think just the way the internet is set up and the message that they're getting, it just kind of naturally leads that way, rather than, you know, committing to one product or, you know, one area. And you know, it takes time to learn how to sell a particular product or, you know, learn a particular industry or whatever. So you know, I mean, most affiliates never stick around long enough to get good at it.
Oh no, and you find that with about, well, the statistics now is that like 95% of affiliates don't make any money, or they don't make, you know, any significant money. And I think it's it also comes back to the fact that 95% of those affiliates couldn't tell you the first thing about the website that they've signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, going back to the, I keep going back to the same example. It's just the most recent one that I'm working on right now, but the domain, the WS domain registration. You know, my sponsor will make a good amount of money from me because I've gone in and I've done the background work. I mean, I've taken 2 weeks to actually research the whole industry. Well, I shouldn't say the whole industry, but I've researched, I put some time into researching the industry, and I put, you know, quite a lot of time into researching the website and finding out about the owners and how the whole thing works, you know, that kind of thing. And I invest some time into it because I want to know about what I'm promoting before I just go out and promote it. Whereas, you know, you can just simply go and sign up for it and promote it here and there and use company ads and all that kind of stuff, and you'll still make some money. But the kind of the, when the rubber hits the road, I mean, if you really want to develop it into a business and you want to be part of the 5% that are going to make, you know, the real money, the big money, you really have to go in and do your due diligence and you know, kind of find out what's going on with it. I mean, it's not, I like to think of it as becoming a doctor. I mean, I wouldn't go online and expect, you know, I'm going to learn everything I can about becoming a doctor so that I can open up my own doctor's practice tomorrow. I mean, you know, you're going to go through years and years of schooling. And, of course, you know, you don't have to go through that extensive amount of training online to get to be, yeah, some even somewhat successful. But people don't take the time to actually train themselves and learn, what do I have to do to actually get, you know, the internet to work for me instead of, you know, me just spending tons of money.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest problem with affiliates. But I mean, it's the biggest problem with the world. I mean, 80% of the money, 80% of the people in the world. No, sorry, the other way around. 20% of the people in the world make 80% of the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always going to be like that because it's the 20% that actually, you know, go in and do their due diligence and work it and plug away and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back to the mindset. I mean, you just decide you're going to do it and you make it happen.
Yep.
But when you were asked me to do the interview, I put a special page up on my website for mm-hmm. you because I knew you were going to ask me about the affiliate side of things. And I interviewed, I would have to say, the most remarkable, dynamic, knowledgeable affiliate marketer that I have ever talked to, named Anik Singhal.
Hmm.
And he has a website called Affiliate Classroom. And we did an interview that ended up lasted over 3 hours, and he laid out absolutely everything as far as becoming an affiliate. You know, what do you do to go out and make, you know, the big money? I mean, this guy is somebody that that I learned probably, I doubled the amount of information I knew about affiliate marketing within the 3 hours that we were talking. And
mm-hmm.
this guy is the rocket scientist of affiliate business. So if you go into www.thebusinessprofessional.com and then / Anik S is ANIKS.htm. You can register for the interview that I did with him, and it'll just blow you away. I mean, the guy is amazing. He's still a university student. And he's making over $10,000 a month just from his affiliate programs.
Wow.
And he's got the system. I mean, this guy has the system. If somebody's really serious about affiliate marketing, not only go in and listen to the interview. Of course, do that. That's the first step. You've got to go in and listen to that. But you've got to get involved in Affiliate Classroom. I've been into it now, and I'm just starting on that, into the learning process there. And he has put together, without a doubt, the best affiliate marketing, it's an affiliate business website where you really, it just walks you through. I mean, right from the, if you're a beginner, you start right at the beginning. If you're intermediate, you start kind of in the middle, and then there's an expert area or the pro area. If you've done it for a long time, you just go in and start there, and he's really done a fantastic job with the website.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it sounds like something I wish I had run into when I was first getting started.
Well, that's why he developed it too, because he said that as well. You know, if I had something like this when I first started, then I could actually have made money, you know, without taking 3 years to learn how to do it, kind of
yeah.
thing. And it really is. I mean, you go in there, and I can't even begin to describe all the stuff that's in there, because, I mean, I've only started, but, I mean, you can go in and control all your websites, all your affiliate marketing websites from within the system, so that you, you can go in and work on, maybe you have a book on cars, and you have a book on dogs, and you have a book on radio-controlled airplanes, or websites. I say a book. I'm thinking like an e-book and a website. You can go in and work on, your affiliate marketing for the dogs today, and you log everything in. Everything's logged in, and then you stop at a specific area, and then you go work on your radio-controlled airplane affiliate marketing business side of things, and you go down the specific, and it's a checklist. And I think that's the biggest things is to get a checklist or some sort of a plan where you can just say, okay, you check, now I've done this, now I can check that off, go to the next step. Because I find even with myself, a lot of the times what I'll do with marketing my businesses, and especially on the affiliate side, I get all excited, I sign up, I do my due diligence, and I go and I write the articles, I put together the website, I submit the articles, and then I think, oh, now what? Now I've done the articles, now what am I going to do? Have a plan. Okay, now the first thing you're going to do is articles. Next, you're going to do press releases. Next, you're going to do forum marketing. So you've got a checklist. So you don't have to actually, you don't end up running into the stop effect where you end up coming through, okay, now I've done articles, and now I'm stuck, so I'm going to go find something else, that kind of thing. And that's really what his program does.
That's great.
So the first thing I would recommend, and I know it's a plug for my site as well, but to get this interview, I can't say enough positive things about this interview that Anik did with me. So it's www.thebusinessprofessional.com/. I know it's a long word. It's all one word. .com. /Anik S, which is A-N-I-K-S, S as in Sam, .htm. And if you go in there, that's probably the most helpful information you're going to find on affiliate marketing anywhere, and it doesn't cost anything, so that's another benefit.
Wow.
But Anik is very much like you and I. He really wants to give people, the best information that he can, let people know how he's done it. And it's like you just said as well, if I had this when I first started affiliate marketing, I could be light years ahead of where I am now. But, at least you can take it from this point and say, okay, well, now I'm starting. A year from now, I'll be light years ahead of where I was or where I would be if I didn't have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Great resource.
It is. It's amazing. He's a fantastic guy.
Well, I think we've come to the end here pretty much. That was some incredible information. I think there's more than enough stuff we talked about to overload just about anybody.
Well, I think it's really, there is a lot of information. I mean, it could be overwhelming for some people, but I think if you just kind of pare it down to the very, very basics and if you can leave the people with one thought, It would really be to build relationships one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Answer people's emails as best you can. If you don't know the answer, go onto the forums and find an answer and refer them to where you found the answer. Or come back with the answer, and say, look, I found, Willie Crawford at the Warrior Forum answered this question for me. Here's what he said.
That's great. Yeah,
good that kind
tip.
Of thing. And really just building the relationship. And I guess I should say there's probably two things I would want people to keep in mind. And the relationships is number one. The second one is really to keep a realistic mindset. Come on and hope for the absolute best that you can do, but at the same time, you need to have some expectations. There is going to be a learning curve. Don't expect to turn on your computer, get online, and suddenly you can make money. Can I get off topic just one more time?
Sure.
I had this. It's such a funny story. I was on Instant Messenger, Microsoft Internet Instant Messenger, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this guy suddenly blast on, and the first thing he said to me is, "Terry, tell me the secrets of how to make money online." I said, "Okay, first of all, there's no secret. You just you know, you run a business the same as you would run your business offline. No, but you know the secrets. You know the secrets of how to do it and get it. You said, I need to make $1,000 by the end of the month. Tell me how to do it. And it would, you know, this is like the 18th of the month or something, so you get 12 days to make $1,000. I said, okay, well, first tell me a bit about yourself. You know, what kind of business experience do you have? What have you done before online? And what have you, you know, how much money have you made online? Oh, no, I don't have any experience. No business experience, never been online. First time I came online, just read, he read an article I'd written, I can't remember what it was. You know, and he said, you know the secrets, just tell me exactly how to get to there to make $1,000. And, you know, it kind of, no matter what I said, you know, to try and show him it's not going to happen just overnight.
Yeah.
He wouldn't believe me.
Huh.
And eventually he called me a couple of colorful names and left. But, I mean, that was, it's the kind of thing that I just kind of shake my head and I think, my God, you know, there's real people out there thinking like this. And it's one of those things, you know, you always hear the stories, but it never happens to you, and it actually happened. I thought, oh, my God, it's just unbelievable. And it makes me wonder, you know, how many people actually believe that? How many people think that, you know, you can just blast online and make $1,000 in 12 days? It just kind of, it blew me away. So, I mean, that's kind of a long way to get around to the second point that I'd really hope that people can do is to come online and be realistic. Bring realistic expectations to you know, to their business and look at it as a business. It's not, you know, you can if you're going to run it as a hobby, expect to get like a hobby income. But if you want to run it as a business, you know, make a business income, then you really have to have a business mindset and not just kind of we'll sign up and hope for the best kind of attitude, because
yep.
it really isn't going to happen. I mean, of course, there's going to be little stories here and there of somebody that signed up and, you know, signed up one other person and didn't do anything, and that other person took off and, you know, made the first person millions of dollars, or I shouldn't say that, thousands of dollars probably. But that's like a needle in a haystack. So mm-hmm. I certainly wouldn't want to come on and expect that's going to happen. That's the exception. It's not the rule.
Yep.
So it's just, basically, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated, build the relationships and you know, develop a realistic mindset. Realistic but positive.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to add is, you know, I didn't realize for a long time that as far as building relationships, you know, it's best really to start before you even get your business going, and it could really help you to narrow things down and kind of find your niche, you know, before you're even, you know, before you even know what you're going to do. You know, a lot of it's easy to get online and then just, you know, kind of draw blank as far as, well, you know, what am I going to do? And you know, I think if relationships, you know, obviously this is a little bit different. This is contacting people in forums and things like that. But those people can end up being your future customers. You can have a built-in list as soon as you get going. And you know, because it's a lot more difficult if you kind of just do everything and then say, okay, I'm ready. You know, how do we get customers? And
yeah.
So, you know, that's the number one thing that I would say, you know, if you're first getting started, is to really start doing that from the beginning.
Yeah, I totally agree. It also allows you to try and kind of get your feelers out there, get your fingers out there, and see what market you want to actually be in. I mean, you might have an interest, you know, that very few other people have an interest in. And that may not be a market that you may have a huge knowledge base on it, but it may not be a market that anybody's actually willing to buy something. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might want to develop it further as a hobby, you know, and keep it that way. But you really might want to look at developing another area of interest, something else that you might find interesting. You know, and finding an area of that you could actually develop a business for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly like you said. I mean, you do that by going into the forums and building relationships and talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go into the forums now, I mean, for you and I mean, it's the internet marketing forums.
Yeah.
You know, for us to go in there and say, look, you know, I'm thinking about this type of thing. What's everybody else's thoughts? I mean, you get fantastic thoughts out of there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can do the same thing on any niche. I mean, any industry has forums on absolutely everything. I mean, if you just go into Google and look under forums for any topic, I think you really – I so far, out of the topics that I've researched, I haven't found a topic that doesn't have a forum.
Mm.
And, I mean, it can be really, really obscure things.
Yeah.
And but it's exactly like you said. You know, you build the relationships, and forums are a fantastic place to meet people.
Definitely.
And start the relationship.
Well, I guess that's it, unless you have anything else.
Well, one thing you haven't done, Lawrence, you haven't told us where you're from.
Ah, yes.
Where do we find you?
Yeah, you might want to know how to locate me. That's a good point. I'm at netmarkhome.com, and that's netmarkhome.com.
What's that?
What's that?
Yeah, what is it? What does Netmark Home do?
Well, Netmark Home, you know, I recently wrote a book on just the kind of stuff that we're talking about right now. And you can actually go to the site and opt in and pick up the book. It's completely free. And, you know, you could really, really get into this stuff. I think this interview combined with that book is just an incredible combination for looking at this aspect of marketing, which is really what it's all about, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.